an effort in which the intensity is so great that everything else is sacrificed. A one-pointed effort for the sake of knowledge. It's the second characteristic of Indian history. At every turn of Indian history, if you read the pages of Indian history, you will find this fundamental theme everywhere. And whenever there was a fixation, a bondage, barriers, saying, oh, Shudras should not learn. Shudras means those are menial workers. They should not be given the knowledge. There was a time in India when it was said, Shudras should not be given knowledge. And great reformers came and said, break this barrier. Let everybody receive the knowledge. What was Buddha? Buddha challenged this restriction and opened the gates of knowledge to all. There was a time when it was said, knowledge should not be given to women. Constantly this idea was broken in India. And today you can see in the world, in India particularly, a tremendous emphasis on the liberation of women. Everyone should have the same right, same knowledge. Tremendous force today. For the last 200 years, the greatest leaders of India have fought against binding women to the kitchen. This has been a great effort of India for the last 200 years. These three aspects constitute speciality of Indian history. You do not find the same kind of movement in other countries. I was just explaining all this to point out the importance of the Upanishads. So now I sum up. The importance of Upanishads lies in the fact that the kind of effort which was made by the leaders of the Upanishads is not parallel by anywhere in the world. Nowhere was there a group of people who came forward, group of people, sections of people, outspread, where the secret knowledge was attempted to be uncovered. This is the only history in the world where this happened. The second important point is that as a result, the Vedic knowledge was not lost, it was recovered. And from where there flowed hundreds of Ganges, as it were, from that store of knowledge which was captured by the Upanishads, going beyond words and symbolism. From there flowed hundreds and thousands of currents of philosophies, thoughts, codes, sciences, thousands of them developed in India. And thirdly, in this cultural movement of India, knowledge was laid down as of supreme importance. If you ask what is the speciality of Indian history, speciality of Indian soul, it is to lay down that knowledge is of supreme importance. And for sake of pursuit of knowledge, all other things should be sacrificed, if need be. You may not, but if need be, you should be able to sacrifice everything else for the sake of knowledge. This is India, the soul of India. Now, having said and summarized basically the importance of the Upanishads, I shall invite you to enter into the threshold and then into the hall of the Upanishads. Imagine there's a big exhibition in which we are going to witness. And I am a doorkeeper for you of this exhibition. And before entering, I am only telling you, look, the importance of what is going to be seen when you go inside. So I only prepare you to enter into the hall of exhibition. You have got that book, isn't it? You have got the copy, no? Oh, but we cannot take a copy. No. Only Upanishads.
We have Shravan, but you asked me for this.
From chapter number 13. Up to the end. From chapter number 13. I do not. It's all right, doesn't matter. I'll get you some text so that you have something with you. It's a kind of an exhibition. This is the text of the exhibition. And you should have with you something, because it's always useful to have some text. So it's all right, I'll do it tomorrow. Now, as you enter into this exhibition hall, you'll find at least 10 books. 10 important books. Now, there is a comfort in this matter. Usually books are very big. Like Veda, for example, is a very big book. 10,000 verses in Rigveda alone. Total, all the Vedic, if you take all the hymns and everything that is there, there are 20,000 mantras of the Veda. It's a huge, huge literature. But Upanishads are very short. It's a great comfort. They're very short. The longest will be about 20-30 pages. The shortest are those which have only eight verses. Small poem of 8 verses. The one which I am going to deal with you, deal with just within a short time, is called Isha Upanishad. Upanishad, which is called Isha. The name of it is Isha Upanishad. That's the first book that I will come in your exhibition. I want to show you. I want to deal with all the books because that is a very big task. I'll mainly deal with 4 or 5 Upanishads, but it's enough for introduction. All the other Upanishads is a for the whole life. It's a lesson for the whole life. It will be a continuous effort of yours to learn Upanishads again and again. As I've been doing in all my life, and still I have not read all the Upanishads myself. It doesn't matter. If you know a few of them and few of them very well, that itself is enough. And that is the greatness of the Upanishads. Because Upanishad says, I am not going to give you the words, although all of them are words. All Upanishads are written in words. But if you follow the method of the Upanishad, where words are only taken at the beginning, then you break the veil of the words. You enter into the ideas, and then you enter into experience. So you don't need to study everything. Words have to be transcended. So let us first of all come to this Upanishad, which is called Isha Upanishad. I-S-H-A. Isha Upanishad.